another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. Today, we're diving into a topic that's been gaining a lot of traction, biological age testing. I'm joined by Hannah Wendt, co-founder of True Diagnostic, a company leading the way in epigenetic testing to measure how well or how fast you're actually aging. We'll break down the difference between biological and chronological age, how DNA methylation plays a role, and what lifestyle factors make the biggest impact. Plus, we'll talk about some of the latest research on longevity, like how diet, exercise, stress, and even peptides can influence your aging process. If you've ever wondered how accurate these tests are, which one to choose, and how to use them to optimize your health, you're going to love this episode. So now, let's dive in. Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I am so excited for this episode because we are here with Hannah Wendt, and you are the co-founder of True Diagnostics Age Testing, a biological age testing, which now everyone's getting into. It's kind of like the Olympics of how we can reduce our biological age. So welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be on the Biohacker Blondie podcast. It means so much. And if you can just give like a little intro, how you got into this space and how you started working with and developing True Diagnostics.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me on, Jenny. I'm excited to chat today.
Yeah.
So ever since I was a little girl, I remember being obsessed with science and the way the world works, both my own body and just animals in general. I remember going in the backyard with my younger sisters and like flipping up rocks and looking for little insects and bugs. So I knew I was going to follow some type of career path in the science realm. So I'm originally from Ohio, traveled about 2.5 hours down south to Lexington, Kentucky, and went to school at UK and majored in biology. But my career really took a turn when I took a really unique position at a compounding pharmacy in Lexington, Kentucky. And they were actually the fourth fastest growing healthcare company in the nation in 2019, and primarily served healthcare providers in the integrative functional medicine space, or the cash pay space. And that's when my entire life turned around, I would say. I can't believe there was a time where I never knew about this true healthcare model, right? Where you're treating healthy people instead of the broken sick care model that we are more familiar with and know today. Yeah. So that was very, very eye-opening for me. And I was like, wow, there's so many opportunities here. And the compounding pharmacy was amazing. I got some really great experience there, but there was one issue with all of the products that we were offering. And that issue was that they were not all FDA approved, and there was little research, objective research, backing them. So that's kind of how myself and several other partners at the pharmacy started to dabble with this idea of, well, how can we offer more of that objective research? And is there one biomarker to really rule them all that you could look at? And we know aging is the number one risk factor for almost every single disease and even death itself. And we're like, okay, well, can we measure aging? And we do know you can measure aging with things like neurocognitive tests, even your grip strength or your gait speed. Even telomere length was once the gold standard, if any of your listeners are familiar with telomere length. But we came across epigenetics, which I'm sure we'll dive into more today. But we figured out epigenetics is really the best way you can measure aging. So with a little bit of luck and, you know, really great timing, and we were really prepared to kind of take this next step or phase in building another business, we kind of veered into the biological age testing business, measuring it through epigenetics, and ended up selling the pharmacy, to make a long story short. But yeah, we had that one goal in mind, to create the best biological age clock. And I think we really accomplished that in October of 2023 with one of our groundbreaking research studies with Harvard. But we can get into all of that later. So that's a little bit of my path and how I got into this. And we've been growing ever since. It's definitely been a fun ride.
So this topic is so confusing. I mean, DNA methylation, DNA, genes, epigenetics. I'm pretty sure most people have no clue. Like, it's a, even for me, I'm down the rabbit hole with health, biohacking, wellness, and science, everything. It's still confusing to me. And, you know, I think DNA is definitely not that old. We've come to it where, you know, that's pretty new with computers and everything. And then, and now we're doing this testing and now we're getting into gene therapy. So there's a lot going on very quickly in this space, but can you just give a very basic of biological versus chronological age? We'll just start with that.
I want to take a quick moment to share something that has truly been a game changer for me, TMW Longevity Supplement. Not only is a supplement packed with cutting edge, premium ingredients like hyaluronic acid for skin and joint health, lion's mane and chaga mushrooms for cognitive support, and nicotinamide and vitamin C for energy and cellular function, it also tastes amazing. I actually look forward to taking it every day. Since I started using it, I've noticed a real glow to my skin, and I feel more energized and vibrant. And what's even more impressive, the founder of TMW Longevity improved several biomarkers without changing anything else in his lifestyle, just by taking this supplement. That speaks volumes about the quality and effectiveness of what's inside. This isn't your average supplement. The founder was committed to creating a product that's not only packed with the highest quality ingredients, but also ensures maximum absorption through real liposomes. It's not just about what's in the bottle, it's about making sure your body actually absorbs the benefits from every ingredient, no money wasted. If you want to boost your energy, support your healthy aging, and feel amazing, this is the one to try. You can find them at all Erewhon locations, visit their website at tmwlongevity.com, or check out their Instagram at tmw.longevity. And as a special thank you to my listeners, you can use my code BHB for an exclusive discount. Just head over to the link in the show notes and enter BHB at checkout to claim your savings. Take the step toward better health and see the difference for yourself. So now let's get back into this episode.
Yeah, no, that's a good place to start. I think I couldn't agree with you more. This is a really confusing space. There are so many questions that come up and it's like, geez, where do you even start? And this is a really good question to really create the framework for the rest of our conversation today. So most people are probably familiar with your chronological age, just how old you are, how many times you've traveled around the sun, how many candles you're blowing out on your birthday cake every single year. And this is linear, meaning it only increases as time goes on. So I'm 27 years old chronologically. But we know that everyone ages a little bit differently. So what I mean by that is my 10-year reunion for my high school reunion is this year, actually. I may go back to my reunion and we're all the same age chronologically about, but some people may look really, really old and you're like, oh, what happened to them? Or some people may look really, really young and you're like, give me your skincare routine, right? So you're like, that's interesting. How can everyone be the same age chronologically, but they look very different? And that's explaining the idea or of what we call today the biological age, meaning we're all aging at a cellular level that's different from our chronological age. And this is determined by everything we do, really our entire environment and how we interact with it as humans.
Question, can you look at, based off of your high school reunion, can you look at someone and be like, your biological age is higher than your chronological age? Like, because even Brian Johnson, like, so, you know, all of his organs were not aging. He's like decreased his biological age on all of his organs. But he was like, well, people look at me and think I'm older. So then he started doing all the lasers and everything. So does this affect our skin, our wrinkles? Have you guys done a study where you're like, this person looks like things are affecting them in the wrong way?
Another really, really great follow-up question there. So looking at someone and trying to guess is can be really difficult just because there are so many moving factors, and aging is just extremely complicated and multifactorial in so many different ways. But we do know, and I guess, you know, how someone looks to you is subjective too, right? You may just not like how they look and you're factoring that into your decision, but you can. It is, so essentially one of our most famous markers, the pace of aging, or the Dunedin pace of aging that Brian uses on the Rejuvenation Olympics, the faster that speed is or that outcome is, the higher the number, the older you actually look. So again, the more wrinkles, the less elasticity you have, the less collagen you have. So even from a facial aging standpoint, you're completely correct there. Yeah, those are absolutely associated.
Interesting. Yeah. So explain the difference between these tests, because that's another thing. There's so many biological tests coming out. You know, Function Health has theirs based off of lab work. There's the Glycan Age, the one that Brian Johnson uses. There's all these. So people are probably confused as to what makes them different and what exactly are you guys testing? It gets so complicated when you get to DNA and mRNA and the proteins and everything. So I want to know exactly in that cell, the nerdy part of what you guys are testing.
Speaking of longevity, did you know that your joint health, inflammation levels, and even brain function can benefit from one of nature's most unique omega-3 sources? Introducing GLX3 Green Lipped Muscle Oil from Hakka Life Nutrition. Rooted in the traditional practices of the Maori people in New Zealand and backed by science, GLX3 harnesses the anti-inflammatory power of ETA, a rare and potent omega-3 you won't find in typical fish oil supplements. It's designed to reduce joint discomfort, support your immune system, and even promote smoother skin and healthier eyes. GLX3 is 100% pure, sustainably sourced, and free of fillers, ensuring maximum bioavailability and even effectiveness. And here's the best part. You can experience these incredible benefits with 20% off. Just head to hakkalife.com/BHB and use my code BHB20 at checkout. Say goodbye to inflammation and hello to longevity with Hakka Life Nutrition. Again, that's hakkalife.com/BHB with code BHB20. Your joints will thank you. So if you are struggling to stay focused, get more done, and have steady energy all day, I might have the answer. Most supplements don't actually support long-term performance. They're packed with fillers, synthetics, and isolated ingredients that just don't work together. However, a new supplement I have been taking for months now has made all the difference, and that is Cellimentals Complete. The founder has been in the supplement industry for nearly 40 years, creating formulas designed to fuel your body with real bioactive nutrients that work synergistically for lasting impact. No shortcuts, no crashes, just true cellular support. It's packed with whole food ingredients like sea cucumber, rich in vitamins, minerals, and bioactive compounds for immune and joint support. Lingonberry and black currant provide antioxidants for brain health, while sea buckthorn offers omega fatty acids for skin, gut, and vitality. Plus, bovine heart and liver deliver B vitamins, CoQ10, and essential minerals to boost endurance and energy. Instead of just giving you a quick boost, Cellimentals helps reduce the demand on your cells so you can stay productive, feel good, and keep going without burning out. If you want to try out this amazing whole food supplement that truly gives your body the nutrients it craves, just go to cellimentals.com. That's cellimentals.com, and use my special discount code BHB for an extra 10% off so you can experience a difference in your overall health, focus, and energy. Again, that's cellimentals.com, code BHB at checkout.
Testing is what makes us different. It's what makes us stand out. So at True Diagnostic, and just as a side note as well, Brian Johnson white labels a version of True Diagnostics tests. So this goes for True Diagnostic and Brian Johnson. We are looking at your epigenetic DNA methylation. And I'll explain exactly what that means. So epi is a Greek prefix that means above or on top of. So we're looking at how much your genes are turned on and how much your genes are turned off. So it's just kind of a genetic modification we're looking at, because your genes don't change over time, right? If you go get your genetics tested and say you got it tested 20 years ago, you get it tested today, you'll get the same exact results.
Why don't you do a gene therapy?
Unless you're doing gene therapy. Yes, I usually say that, forgot that there. So I'm glad you poked that comment in. So yeah,
like, you know, with turning genes on, turning genes off, it sometimes can be good to turn these on versus, and then sometimes it's good to turn them off.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's why I like to say we want to shift your epigenetic markers in your favor, where you want your cancer genes to be turned off.
Yeah.
But you want your tumor suppressor genes, so genes that are going to help fight cancers, turned on.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can say, oh, I'm going to follow this exact protocol and turn all of these genes on or turn all of these genes off. It's really a balance, and it's about finding what works for you, because we're all very, very unique individuals. So just because it works for one person as well doesn't mean it would work for you.
Yeah, all those gene expressions and saying, we want all these to be turned on, we want all these to be turned off, which ones are working their best, basically. So you are using the cancer suppressant versus maybe metabolism, muscle building. You're looking at both of them saying, I want all these to be on, I want all these to be off. Which ones are on and off that we want? That's kind of the basics.
Yeah, and in a way, yeah. So, you know, we just require a finger prick blood spot card. You ship it to our lab in Lexington, Kentucky. We look at about a million of those epigenetic DNA methylation markers. And we're basically looking at, you know, all of these markers and saying, hey, it's turned on this much, or it's, you know, turned off this much, depending on which way you're looking at it. But we're not giving you that raw information. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to do with all of that information, right?
Yeah.
We're taking our algorithms or our epigenetic clocks that were created through machine learning and artificial intelligence and coming up with those biological ages, because that biological age is the best way to capture all of that information, right? We know if you're older biologically compared to your chronological age, you're at an increased risk for almost every single disease and death. And then if you're younger biologically compared to your chronological age, you're at a decreased risk for almost every single disease and death itself.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, I can't even imagine having all this data. I mean, are you just fascinated looking through all the data and figuring out what works best? Are there companies after your data? Like, they're just like, give me all your
companies after our data. That's an interesting question. I would say no, they're not after our data, because they would need to set up like a clinical trial with us, if that makes sense. So like we have a lot of healthcare providers or researchers or, you know, supplement companies who come to us and say, wait, I want to see if my protocol works in terms of lowering these biological age markers. So yeah, we do a lot of clinical trials like that because of how well our algorithms and, you know, the biological age clocks work.
With epigenetics, I just want people to realize that we have our genes. And can you kind of give like lifestyle factors that affect our epigenetics? I mean, there's
yes.
So much. So with all the millions of people who have given their blood to you and you see their biological age, what have you seen that works the best?
Yeah, I'll name off these categories per se, these four main categories, and then we can expand this into however many we want, because it really just is everything you do. But I would say the main four are going to be stress, sleep, nutrition. So in terms of your diet, what you're eating, what you're ingesting, and physical activity or your exercise. I would say those four lifestyle components really account for a large portion of your biological age results, or I should say are correlated with. And I think according to the studies and what's been published, because you have to remember, Jenny, this science is newer than the first iPhone. It's really, really cutting edge. Yeah. But the one thing, if you go to any of the, you know, aging research development conferences, all the academic conferences around the world that we attend, you'll see that caloric restriction tends to be the one thing that's studied over and over again in all different types of species too. So just quite literally eating less, not necessarily intermittent fasting or time-restricted feeding, just eating less really inhibits some of that growth that you can usually send your cells into overdrive with if you overeat, thus slowing down the aging process. And, you know, probably Brian Johnson does a lot of that, right? Restricting calories.
He's like, I'm starving all the time. So if someone is, does that just go hand in hand with someone being overweight? I mean, caloric restriction is just saying, hey, if you're at a good weight versus like caloric, like you're just, you know, pretty good weight, muscular, or always caloric restriction. Like, I mean, like say for Brian Johnson, he's pretty fit now, great body now, everything. Does he need to keep doing caloric restriction?
Good question. Yeah, he does. And I would say,
we don't want that answer.
I know. It's not the answer I wanted to give. I'll tell you that. But you're right. Caloric restriction is actually viewed as a way to really just lose weight or, you know, shed a few extra pounds. But as we've been learning more about this metabolic process in terms of just, you know, human metabolism in general, it's not calories in versus calories out. It's actually how you metabolize those calories. So some people can lose weight with caloric restriction. Others won't lose weight with caloric restriction.
Interesting.
Now, regardless of where you fit in terms of weight loss with caloric restriction, it's still beneficial to perform that caloric restriction for longevity, you know, increasing lifespan, health span, anti-aging purposes too. So that's why you'll see a lot of people who are nutritionists or dietitians in this space as well, really talking about being mindful with your eating, right? Not overeating, listening to your body a little bit more. Other tips and tricks like drinking a full glass of water before you eat. What are some other ones? You know, eating your food in a particular order too, right? Your veggies first, then your protein, and then your carbs, because you'll kind of realize that you'll become less hungry and you're more satisfied that way too. And obviously that's better for your insulin sensitivity.
Yeah. So what makes your test so different from, there's glycanage as well. I think I saw you guys speak at one of the conferences together. It was a great, it was in Miami. I forget what it was called. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I met the founder too, actually in London. And so it's two different tests. And can you explain the difference between the two?
Yeah. I think that was your original question. And then I went off on a tangent. So no, it's great. So TRH and glycanage are really offering complementary but very distinct approaches to assessing biological age, right? This is dependent on the actual biomarker we're looking at. So I explained already a little bit of the epigenetics and the DNA methylation markers that we're looking at. So at True Diagnostic with our test TRH, the biological age markers we think are the best on the market because they are the most predictive of outcomes. And that's all you want in a biomarker, right? You test a biomarker for it to tell you the future. And then depending on if you like that, you know, future or result or not, you can pivot. You can keep going in that direction or you can change. Now, glycans, on the other hand, they're evaluating glycans, which is a complex sugar molecule. And they change mainly, I would say, in response to inflammation and immune system activity. So it does give you a biological age, but I think it's probably telling you a little bit more about inflammation levels. It's more immune focused. They fluctuate with hormones pretty regularly as well. So I know Nicolina, Glycanage's CEO, who's amazing. I think they're focusing a little bit more on even like a menopause predictor by looking at the glycans. So I don't know that they're focused on just general aging as the epigenetics is, but like individual kind of causes or reasons into why we're aging. So it's just a completely different approach.
Okay. Interesting. Have you done both? Like, have you compared your biological age with their test and true age?
I've actually never done the glycan age. Actually, you know what? No, I may have done it.
A thing where you guys both take them and see the accuracy.
No, I think I did it actually like 3.5 or 4 years ago. I think I did it a very, very, very long time ago. So I would definitely need a retest because we know these things change. But yeah, it's really hard to answer that question, Jenny, because it's like comparing apples to oranges. It's just completely different.
Function of health. It's like they have a biological age too, but most people don't know. Like most people are like, oh, my biological age is 20 on because of their blood work.
There's
different ways to categorize your biological age. People are using this a lot now with all different types of testing saying, you know, so
yeah.
The DNA methylation is completely different.
It is. Yeah. And with function health, they're just taking your blood-based values and popping them into a formula to give you an age. It has no underlying scientific kind of evidence, right? Saying it's predictive of outcomes. It can be a little, it's just a way to gamify, right? And say, hey, we need to get your levels in range. But there's, you know, no true kind of peer-reviewed published algorithm that they're using to come up with that, because you can create a biological age out of anything, right? I could say, hey, Jenny, do a long jump from point A to point B, right?
So, you know, just off of a few biomarkers. And so there's just different tests out there, right? And I think the best part though, is you get to see, hey, my age, my biological age is here. You test 6 months later, you get to see whatever you're doing is working. I think a lot of people use these tests to kind of give a basics of just like making sure, just like with lab work too, it's important to do kind of, you know, 6 months in between of making sure your supplements or your diet or your lifestyle is improving instead of making things worse.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's the premise. That's the idea. If you're going to test your biological age, you know, stick with one test and try to do it as consistently as possible. You have to check each individual company and see what they recommend in terms of retesting. With ours, it's so accurate and precise. You can actually do it every 3 months. That's probably what we'd recommend if you're wanting to try a specific protocol to see how it's affecting those markers. But yeah, stick with one, you know, choose one based on really what's best for you. And that could look different depending on the person.
How accurate is this test too? Like, I think a lot of people are wondering if I take this test, say I take it 3 times in a week or something, will it all come out the same? Or have you done this where you've just taken it 3 times kind of throughout the day or throughout the week and then it all comes out the same?
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're describing is more of that precision or reliability based metric. So if we got to get a little technical here since we're talking about these terms. So accuracy is hitting that bullseye, right? You know exactly where you want to land and you're hitting that spot. We can't really be accurate with these markers because no one knows anyone's biological age, right? So instead we measure it with exactly how you're describing it, Jenny, which is the precision, the reliability. So instead of hitting that bullseye on the dartboard, how many times are we hitting, you know, triple for 15 in the same exact section of that dartboard? And we do those studies all the time. It's actually measured through something called an intra-class correlation coefficient, which is a mouthful, but it's short or it's long for an ICC value.
Okay.
Basically what that means is if you take 2 samples at the same exact time, how highly correlated are they to one another? And ours are all above 0.95, which is considered excellent.
So how often are you taking this test? Since you have access to it times, are you taking it once a week? Are you like, you know, like there's like the glucose goddess where she does the glucose monitor. She has it on probably 24/7. There's a few other Instagram people that are doing it as well. And so I'm curious if you guys are just constantly testing yourselves, being like, if I eat this banana or like some things, or like I don't work out or I sauna every day, or There's so many things you can get into of like even like mold. Like I've actually done it once, but this is when I had high mold. And so I'm not going to say my age, but my biological age was actually higher, sadly. But then I found out I had really high levels of mold. So do you guys ask a bunch of questions too to see like diet, for instance? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Brian Johnson, will come back to him, fully vegetarian or vegan. And, you know, there's Paul Salandino, who's completely meat, fruit, meat, like raw dairy. Like, so have they done the test? Have you compared? Is there a specific diet where you see people are like not doing well?
So to answer, the first part of your question, I probably take the test every 3 to 4 months or so. And it's super interesting. You know, sometimes I'm better than others in trying an exact protocol. But that's the idea, is you want to keep all the variables as, you know, clear cut as possible so you understand what's really affecting it. We did a study, it's probably almost been, I would say, a year now, maybe a little bit less than a year, on vegan versus omnivore diet with Stanford and twins. So you put one set of twins on the vegan diet, one set of twins on the omnivore diet, and we actually saw that. The reason for the study wasn't to say who's aging better. There were a lot of other really cool analyses we were doing with this. But we did run all of the biological age outcomes on them as well. And we found that the vegans age slower. And it was just a very short study. It was only 8 weeks. So we're not saying adopt a vegan diet, right? We know long term that there are definitely some deficiencies with performing a vegan diet, but it was really interesting to see kind of on a more micro level, the clinical measurements that were changing, the metabolites that were changing, the proteins that were changing, along with the biological ages, to really drive it down that way. But outside of, go ahead.
There should be like, I feel like this is such a war of like vegetarians versus carnivore, like keto, carnivore. And I even did a podcast with the founders of Bioptimizers, and they they wrote a book called like the Nutrition Bible, because the co-founders have opposite diets. One's like keto carnivore, and then Wade's like vegetarian. He does a lot of supplementing and stuff, but you know, also their genes play a role as well. So then you have your actual genes where it's like he needs to, you know, eating more fiber, more vegetables and all that, and his partner, his co-founder, I think needs to be more keto. So there's that role, but I'm curious because I think a lot of people that say, okay, vegetarian diet is better now to your markers. And there was like a documentary on Netflix or something about vegetarians have less of these inflammation, everything.
That was, we were probably in that documentary. Yeah. The Game Changers. You are what you eat. Yeah.
Okay. So you were part of that.
Yeah.
So the thing that everyone says is, well, what kind of meat were they eating? Because it definitely is like the quality. So if you're, you know, eating 100% grass-fed, pasture-raised chicken and beef or whatever, then, you know, so unless they're eating burgers from McDonald's that's fucked beef, then that's the big difference.
Yeah. Same for quality of, you know, your vegan diet too, right? You could eat a vegan diet, but you could do it in the right way, right? So that there are a lot of factors. And trust me, that study got a lot of press. I mean, we got so many people reaching out, but not necessarily, I would say, for the right reasons of why the study was done.
That documentary, I was with my roommate at the time, and he was eating meat all the time. There were so many men I knew, because I think it said it lowers your sperm or something. And all the men were like, I'm not going to eat meat anymore.
They're like, I'll stay way far away from that.
That lasted about 3 months for most
people. Yeah, and then they were back.
I think men need to eat more meat, but, you know, everyone's body's a little different, so.
Yeah.
And then I know, too, like, so I watched the Kardashians take the True Age test. And a True Diagnostics test. And so everyone was like, oh, they're probably on Ozempic. So Have you seen if the Ozempic has reduced basically inflammation and then reduced biological age?
Yeah, we're doing some studies right now, actually, with our collaborators at Cornell in particular. And I can't say anything about the results of that so far, but we are absolutely looking at that. And I think people will be really excited to see the data on that. And we're doing it with several groups too. So it won't just be this one Cornell group. But yeah, I think that's the reality of it. I don't know if the Kardashians are on Ozempic or not, or what that looks like, but you could probably imagine that some of the, you know, insulin sensitivity effects and, you know, furthermore, the inflammation effects probably have somewhat of a positive effect on the biological age, meaning lower biological ages.
Do you see age as also a big factor? Like, say you're 60 and then your real age is 60 and your biological age, is it more difficult the older you get to have a decrease in your biological age?
Yeah, it definitely is. So I would say, this played a really large factor in the Rejuvenation Olympics as well, right? Where we used to rank based on, I will say Brian Johnson used to rank by chronological age, right? Because as you get older, we do see it's harder to have a lower biological age, right? Okay. Because when we're younger, when we're quite literally aging, we're gaining a lot of that inflammaging, right? We're having that wear and that natural wear and tear on our bodies. And you don't have really time to combat that once you've reached a certain point.
Yeah, that's why it definitely, so it's like the older you become, the more difficult it is to reduce your biological age. So it kind of makes nutrition a little difficult to kind of numerically position people. Because if someone's 60, then their biological age would not be the same as someone who's like 30 and they're really 20 or something, you know, 10 years, but different ages.
Yeah, exactly. And I know he doesn't rank them that way now. I think what's really interesting is he's still just looking at the Dunedin pace of aging, right? Which again is harder to keep lower as you become older. But I think what is interesting about the Dunedin pace is he's taking an average of the three. So it's all about the consistency that you have within that marker. It's impressive if you get a really low score in the scale, for those listening, is 0.6 to 1.4. So it's impressive if you get, you know, a 0.6, but I don't really care. What I care about is if you continue to get the 0.6, right? Which means you're doing those same things and holding yourself to that standard. And then he also ranks in one column the best score they've gotten as well.
So I just want everyone to know what the Rejuvenation Olympics is. It's basically like the Olympics of longevity, of not aging. So everyone, you know, people are taking this test and then trying to compete and age the least. Quick question too. So we have the age. So what other factors like peptides? I know that was a topic also at the conference. Are there specific peptides that you've seen maybe really reduce inflammation and help with your biological age?
Yeah, peptides are going to be hard. So that is what we primarily compounded at the pharmacy that I worked at that I mentioned at the beginning. So that was a really, really, again, fun, fast, you know, movie, fast paced time in my life. But it slowed down a lot when, you know, the FDA kind of ruled on the peptides and a lot of compounding pharmacies not being able to offer them legally anymore. So it's really slowed down, I would say, within all the healthcare providers and practices that I work with, even with, you know, some consumers and biohackers and people like yourself, Jenny, that I speak with. Of course, you could still get them on, you know, more of the dark web if you're daring enough or, you know, wanting to try them. Yeah, of course. But yeah, it's hard. We just don't have any, I would say, regulatory rules around those. So to be able to put even a study out there with the peptides and looking at how they're affecting the biological aging, you're probably never going to see one unless it's on an FDA-approved peptide. But you could infer, I think, that most of the peptides would probably slow down the aging process, depending on what they're focused on. But, you know, your thymusin alpha 1, your thymusin beta 4, any of the mitochondrial based peptides, like the MOTC or the SS31, you know, were some of the favorites as well.
Are you ready to step up your health game? I'm excited to share an exclusive offer from Vivo Barefoot. The pioneers in barefoot footwear designed to bring you closer to nature and improve your overall well-being. Vivo Barefoot shoes are crafted to promote natural movement, enhance your posture, and strengthen your feet. Whether you're hitting the trails, the gym, or just walking around town, these shoes are the perfect companion for your biohacking journey. And the best part, as a Biohacker Blondie listener, you get an exclusive 10% off your purchase with the special discount code BHB. Just enter BHB at checkout and enjoy the benefits of barefoot living. Ready to take the next step? Head over to the link in the show notes or visit biohackerblondie.com to grab your pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes today. Your feet will thank you. I also want to share with you my favorite skincare brand, Young Goose. I recently had an amazing conversation with the founder, Emma Tay, on the podcast, and I can't stop raving about their incredible product line. Young Goose is the number one biohacking skincare brand, and for good reason. Their products are designed to work at the cellular level, providing unparalleled results. I love every product in their line, from their serums to their moisturizers. Everything is formulated with the highest quality ingredients and innovative technology. And here's something special for my listeners. Young Goose has generously provided a discount code just for you. Use the code BHB10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Make sure to check the show notes or the link and the code. Treat your skin to the best biohacking skincare out there with Young Goose and experience the transformation for yourself. Are you looking for a convenient and effective way to experience the benefits of peptides without the need for injections? Look no further than Level Up Health, my go-to brand for meticulously stacked oral peptides designed for maximum benefit. Their offerings include powerful options like liver support, gut repair, and BPC-157, and they just launched their latest innovation, Neuro Regenerate, perfect for supporting brain health and cognitive function. Whether you're at home or traveling, these oral peptide stacks provide a hassle-free solution to boost your wellness journey. Ready to try them out? Head over to levelup.health.com, that is levelup.health.com, and use the code BIOHACKERBLONDIE, that is BIOHACKERBLONDIE, yes, just with an I, at checkout to receive 10% discount. The details and links will also be available in the show notes. Don't miss out this opportunity to elevate your health with Level Up Health's premium peptide stacks.
So another question too, I'm curious if someone takes, like, say you're sick recently, should you wait a specific time period? Or even another question too, if you're on your period or certain things that might affect the results?
Yeah, definitely. I would say everything you're naming, the sickness, you know, your period in particular, is really a stressor to the body, right? So there's a really good study out of Harvard, one of the first really on biological aging and stress, that is titled Your Biological Age is Increased Upon specific stressor, but restored upon recovery, essentially. And the stressors that they looked at in particular were severe cases of COVID-19, elected and unelected surgeries, and then pregnancy as well. So you could kind of categorize everything you mentioned to the sickness, your period, et cetera. You know, the list goes on and on, really high stressful situations. Those would cause fluctuations or changes in the epigenetics, thus your biological age. So as a rule of thumb, we really like to tell people to wait 2 or 3 months, depending again on that sickness. Is it acute? Is it chronic? You know, what's the recovery period like, especially if you're going through some type of surgery? So I would say good rule of thumb is like waiting 2 to 3 months.
And then if you're pregnant, that would cause your biological age to increase?
Skyrocket. Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah. Stop. I've done, I had
to go through, I swear.
I know, right? And I remember when we were just starting off at True Diagnostic, and I was still spending a lot of times going through reports with providers, and I had back-to-back female providers whose pace of aging was, you know, 1.2, 1.3, which is really off the charts. You don't really see that very often. And especially with the small sample sizes, we had just started really reporting this metric. And I was so scared to talk to them. I'm like, what is going on? Did we make a lab error, right? And it turned out they were both pregnant. So I've seen it multiple times since then too, with our testing.
What about menopause? Have you seen like a change, like if someone's post or pre?
Yeah, absolutely. So, perimenopause is hard. Menopause in general is just hard, right? There isn't a test for like perimenopause, menopause when you're going through. I mean, there are certain biomarkers you could look at to say, oh, you've been through menopause, but there's not really a test saying this is when we can expect you to go through menopause. This is how severe it is. This is what you should do to prepare for it. And that's what I think Glycan Age is actually working on or trying to look into, which would be absolutely phenomenal. But we know that menopause accelerates the biological aging process, period. So the more you can delay the onset of menopause, right, estrogen supplementation, other lifestyle factors, the better your biological age is going to be. So.
So you guys have two different tests too. I saw there's the True Age and then the Health and True Age or My Health.
Yeah.
So yeah. What is that as well? What is the difference now you're testing? Like, can you give a little explanation of both of the tests?
For sure. The True Age test is the one we've basically been talking about today. It's going to have all of those biological age outcomes. We really have a slew or suite of biological age outcomes with a couple additional scores as well. So we even have a physical fitness age. We can tell you how much you've been smoking or consuming alcohol across your entire lifetime. So really, really kind of just a longevity-based report is what the True Age is. Whereas the True Health is the same exact process. It's a finger prick blood spot card. But the True Health is actually just your micronutrient levels. So it's giving you your antioxidant levels, vitamins, aminos, even some really unique outcomes such as your NAD metabolism, different supplement levels like your alpha-ketoglutarate levels, your PEA, ketones, toxins, omegas, insulin sensitivity. So it's a real, it's more of like a kind of
nice panel.
True deficiency like panel saying, oh, you know, you're deficient in vitamin C. We'd recommend vitamin C supplementation or, you know, increase these types of foods that contain vitamin C, right? So that gives you more of those direct recommendations on it, although we do it True Age as well.
And I think it's so important too to be doing these tests together because you want to know your deficiencies. You want to know what's like even toxins. Like I want to ask if you've seen anything of like mold or heavy metals correlated with the True Age test.
Yeah, definitely. Mold and, you know, heavy metals, that's a little bit harder to measure, but there are a couple studies out there. I know you mentioned you had a, mold and tested and your biological age was higher. So there are definitely correlations that are very clear there. I think epigenetics could absolutely explain why we, you know, have or even diagnose to an extent mold or other diseases that I would say are quite difficult on the surface, right? Like anything autoimmune related, IBS, IBD, et cetera, chronic fatigue, things like that. I think epigenetics can explain a lot of that actually. And we'll have hopefully diagnostic tests for that rather soon.
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing with the test is you can do so much with it. Like, you know, like a heavy metals test, I would love to like go test everyone in Japan or something and figure out if they have heavy metals because they're eating all this fish. I'm like, what can we do with True Diagnostics?
We say that we're limited really by two things, which is really the size of the data that we have because we can measure so much and our imagination. So, We're choking on opportunities here, not starving. That's for sure. And we, you know, have to try and stay focused and in our lane because I think we all have hundreds of ideas every single day on, you know, new products or new things we could do.
Yeah, I know. Like, I think, does Novos Labs also use True Age Diagnostics? So, yeah, it's like all these supplement companies as well. It's like, does this help? You know, is this going to reduce my biological age? There's so many things you can implement. Are you guys going to work with gene therapy or anything? Is that something like the Follistat coming out with Clotho soon?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've worked with several of the companies that I would say do the gene therapy now and offer that. So we're measuring before and after. I think those companies are doing some clinical trials with our testing too. So hopefully they're able to publish on those insights and that data soon.
Yeah, there's just so much. I mean, people are wondering, does Follistatin help? Is it going to change anything? You know, it's kind of, there's so much that's coming out there. And I feel like people are just don't really know if it's working. You know, we're kind of the guinea pigs right now. And so this is why we have to do some of these tests to figure out like if this is helping or not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's hard. I think we need a standard biomarker, right? To say, this is, you know, this is the standard that we should be measuring to measure the effectiveness of all of these interventions and treatments. And the more we can do that, the better off we are at putting everything on the same playing field. And we just published on 51 longitudinal longevity clinical trials in humans with Yale, looking at all different sorts of things from lifestyle to supplements to, you know, medications, procedural-based therapies, and kind of measured all the biological age clocks that have ever been created to date in just one paper in one area. That way, again, you can start to see how the clocks compare and how they even perform. So those are like the standardized research clinical trials that we need so that people are more informed instead of just measuring, you know, one at one point. We need to look at everything.
And like, so you guys are also testing NAD levels? Is that what you
said? We don't any, or excuse me, sorry.
NAD with the.
We used to offer an NAD test itself, but no, now we just look at some NAD metabolism based markers through that True Health Report, because you could be over supplementing, right? With NR, NMN, NAD, et cetera. Or under supplementing, and we'll basically be able to tell you that, hey, we want to decrease your levels. We want to increase your levels. There's a marker nicknamed 2PY, where if that's too high from taking NAD supplements, then it could have, you know, cardiac and kidney effects, renal effects. So, you know, we don't want to take too much of something either if we don't know how it's going to interact in our body.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I did an interview with Jen from Genfinity. Mm-hmm. I guess most people are deficient, but that's what I'm assuming. I don't know, but these tests, there's he say, she say, or whatever of these tests as well. Like, how accurate are these lab tests too? Mm-hmm. And NAD, I know, is not very easy to test for. So it's like,
yeah,
someone comes out with this test, but how do we know that what they're testing for is accurate?
Exactly. And that's where you have to dive into the research, right? And that can be really hard to do as a consumer. So you know, it's a really difficult space, I think, to be in. But hopefully, you know, the epigenetic markers will add some clarity rather quickly to it all. So I'm excited.
So what is your lifestyle factors? What do you implement since you are now testing yourself all the time? What is your diet? What is your exercise routine? What is your biological age?
Yeah, it's always
Olympics.
What was that?
Are you on the
race? I think I am. I don't know where I'm ranked. I don't think it's, you know, super high. I'll have to go back and look. and I'm due for some new testing here soon. But I'm absolutely not perfect. I try my best depending on how I'm feeling that day or listening to my body. But I would say for the most part, every day I am probably at some type of caloric deficit. It's really easy for me to do. I definitely, you know, don't want to overindulge or overeat. And that doesn't work for everyone. I think you need to speak with, you know, a healthcare provider about that, especially if you're a woman and you're on your period, right? Or you're trying to get pregnant or trying to gain muscle mass. So there are a lot of factors that play into that role. I pretty much try and journal every day, do transcendental meditation every day. I think the stress aspect for me is really huge. So I've been paying a bit more attention to that, going to therapy once to twice a month. I think that's absolutely huge. Workout wise, I, you know, do try and exercise every day if possible. That could look like waking up, doing some weight training. It could look like waking up, not doing weight training, but getting my 10 to 20,000 steps on my, you know, treadmill desk, or even using my Catalyst suit. So an EMS suit that simulates all of the 99% of the muscle fibers in the body. So just trying to move your body, right? Whether, again, it's stretching, yoga, I think it's just super important in general and doing what you like. Because if you're doing it and you're hating it and you're not liking it, then it's also going to change some things epigenetically that aren't great for you. And my sleep has always been great. So I've been really lucky from that area. I track it with an Oura ring. So my sleep, I've just been always been a pretty good sleeper in general.
So the basics are your go-to. Are there any biohacks you use, like red light, sauna, like blue light blocking glasses? Do you do any? I mean, you're surrounded by
it. I'm surrounded by it. Yeah. And the more you're surrounded by it, like the least you want to do it, in my opinion, right? Like it's like you work in it every day. So it's like when you go home, you know, you kind of want to separate yourself for it. So I have some supplements I take depending on my deficiencies with my traditional lab values, my True Health results as well. I think as a, you know, standard regimen, I think pretty much everyone could benefit from a little bit of vitamin C, vitamin D, creatine, magnesium as a baseline. Maybe even some B vitamins, again, depending on your deficiencies. I'm not saying everyone should take these, but it's a pretty standard supplement kind of plan that I follow. You know, no red light. I had the blue light blockers at one point, but yeah, I just like to keep it pretty simple. Definitely, I love the sauna. I need to get into that more. When I do it, I feel great. But I need to do it more often, but I do love the sauna.
It's so crazy because like you have the extreme biohackers are doing like hyperbarics, you know, ozone, just like peptides, all the stuff. And then you're like, I'm sleeping.
Yeah. You can go, you know, you can fall kind of anywhere, anyway. It is really like an extreme sport, right? I mean, it takes a lot of time. And
it is time and it is money. So I think I always tell people, you know, get the foundation of health. A lot of people are not eating whole foods. I think that's a big indicator of inflammation, processed food, all that stuff. Like typical daily habits is what's going to really move the curve for a lot of people. And then you
for sure
crazy biohacks, you know, once you lay the foundation of health.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, I love the field still. I'm super interested in it. I'll continue to dive into my health more and more, right? I do this, the TrueAge, the True Health testing every 3 months. I do my CBC panel, my hormones every 6 months, and have, you know, measured my genetic variants as well to really try and optimize my health from a genetic, epigenetic, and clinical laboratory measurement standard too. So it's always fun to dive into more data. Data is knowledge.
I know. It gets like addicting, but it also gets expensive. This test, so it's very easy. Everyone who's listening, you basically give you a little at-home test kit. You prick it yourself. Are you guys doing the arm ones now too?
Or yeah, we do the TASO unit.
Mm-hmm. That was really, I just did one with Zoe and I was like, I was so scared to push it in, but yeah. I didn't feel it at all. So anyone who's worried, they're going to like get this prick feeling. I didn't feel it at all. And it was such an easy way to get blood. So I actually prefer that method. And then, so how much is this test? I think it's like $4.99. Is that what it is?
Yep. $4.99 for just a single test, either TrueAge or True Health. You can do the combo for $8.49. And then if you wanted to subscribe and do it every 3 months, it's much, much cheaper. I think almost even half the cost. So I encourage to try it, doing it that way at first to really ingrain in yourself, hey, I'm spending money on this. I need to make a difference. I need to follow this regimen. That way you can get used to testing at that frequency. And then you can always test less in the future too.
So everyone can go find truediagnostic.com on your website, mm-hmm. and True Diagnostic on Instagram.
Yeah.
Are you on Instagram?
Yes, so we are. I think it might be True Diagnostic Official on Instagram, but if you type in True Diagnostic, it'll pop up.
Okay, great. So this was so great. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Is there anything else you want to mention about this test? I think we covered everything. I don't know. I mean, I think to a lot more, but
yeah, I think we covered a lot, Jenny. I'm super appreciative of you and, you know, the open conversation you're having with people and continue to. So yeah, if anyone's curious, just try and take a test. I promise it'll be a good journey to really start your health.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I loved diving into the science of biological age with Hannah and exploring how we can track and improve longevity through epigenetics, lifestyle, supplements, and peptides. If you're curious about testing your own biological age, check out truediagnostic.com. And if you found this episode insightful, I'd love for you to share it with a friend, leave a review, and subscribe. It truly helps me bring more amazing guests and continue sharing the latest in health and longevity. Your support means everything. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, keep biohacking your way to a healthier, longer life.